It's a top hat, everybody.
I've seen this.
I'm gonna do this. Look, so it's come up in the calendar on my phone, but didn't come up in the calendar on the MacBook. Then there's my mail.
Medication time.
And well, we cannot talk about email addresses anymore. You're bad talking about this. Oh, this is non-stop.
Nah.
Goodbye, everybody.
Right, that is.
you sound louder than Coxie.
Oh, exhausted. What a morning.
Paul Riley, is it you?
I guess it is me this week. Folks, just to put you in the picture, we've managed to break our own record, taking a mammoth 15 minutes to get to this point in the show. So welcome along to welcome along to the penultimate episode of season one of Three Down, One Across. Episode 15 must end soon.
Paul.
I certainly hope it is.
It is indeed. It's a physical bell, but every time I ding the bell, Dweezil thinks he's getting a treat, so I need to kind of cut down on it.
That's
so
almost Pavlovian.
Yes.
Is that deliberate then? You've started that?
No, he knows his dinner's ready when I ding the bell, so he comes through.
I'm exactly the same. My butler rings the bell and I start salivating.
That's right. So I had the idea of talking about salespersons, telesales and stuff like that, and just thought we could kick the can about with that idea for a couple of minutes, because we've only got a couple of minutes left.
Spam and fishing, we can include that. What do you call it? Fish.
Yes, absolutely. It's a PH though.
A PH, it's not an FI. Pishing, really, that's what it is.
It's absolutely.
I get it in the phone. Downloaded an app that's supposed to block them, but it doesn't really block them when you get phone calls from Stoke-on-Trent, it says in your phone. You think, well, who is that? Could be somebody, you just answer it.
How can they do that then? How can they link that through as if it's always coming from...
It's some sort of skullduggery.
Get software that piggybacks you onto any exchange.
You remember my car got wrecked at the hydro and I had to claim the insurance, and as soon as that process started, I was hooked into millions of all these. Oh, we hear you've had an accident and all that.
I have such good fun. There is a thing on YouTube. I will put a link up on the Twitter feed of keeping a scammer on the line.
Excellent.
The insurance thing, a guy phoned up and we heard you've had an accident. And I went, oh, aye, son. I had a terrible, terrible accident. And he said, now, did you get compensation? It wasn't enough. I mean, I've side of my house came down. What? He said, the side of my house? I said, there was, you know what a bowser is, son? No, a bowser, the big tanker carrying slurry, came down and hit the side. You know where my house is at the corner on the road? He went, yes. I got something like 25,000, but, you know, that's my house. He went, I'll get my manager. This guy came on, you could hear him salivating. And I went through this thing about not getting enough money. And he said, and that's terrible. I said, it's not the worst of it, son. I'm not going to get into details, but suffice it to say, there's a tractor, two priests and a dog, and I've only got one leg. But I just figured out, if I'm doing that, it's keeping them busy rather than them actually getting a pensioner or something.
Absolutely.
My boy delights in it if we're in the car and they phone. He loves that. And I'll put on an accent on. But they phoned the other day, it was the usual. Can I speak to Mark Cox? And I said, I'm afraid Mark's dead. And the reply, okay then.
Coxie was in my house with Joseph one time, and he was sitting on the Lazy Boy, and there's a phone in the Lazy Boy. Wow, was the phone? And I says, aye, well, truth be told, Joseph, I'm a spy. What? Really? Aye. Then we're in the car, and my phone goes, and I go, hello, Prime Minister. And Joseph's eyes light up in the back. Right, okay, yeah. Okay, break both his arms. Okay, yeah, I'll do that. Okay, I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye. And then the next day, Coxie phones me up. He says to Annabelle, Mum, can I spend this spy money? What spy money? She went, Paul's a spy. All right, okay, go and spend the spy money. Never even went into it. Never even bothered.
There's actually YouTube videos of people reversing on the people who phone up. David, you'll know of this, who phone up to try and get into your computer. There's actually videos of people locking the computers of the scammers.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Good.
It's really something, actually.
A quite enjoyable pastime is to give them credit card numbers. I spent maybe about half an hour repeating these 16 digits. I gave them, I think the expiry date was, I said 12/25, and this was about 2 years ago. No, it can't be 12/25. Son, I used it in Tesco this morning. Give us that again. And then he gets his manager. I'm just, and it's the desperation in the voices because they think they're so close to getting your cash and they refuse to consider the possibility that you're taking the piss. All right, 4747-1009, just going through it. And the team typing, furiously typing.
Furiously.
Very good.
Deal with this. Does Joseph still do fakey phone calls? Or do kids do that anymore?
Yeah,
because your number would come up.
That was a thing that was done in the past, wasn't it?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay, because people couldn't see your number.
I took great delight with our friends at Baldy Bane pretend to be a sergeant from Fife saying that one of their vans had been used in the robbery of a sub-post office in
and, David, you did that to me when I scraped the side of a Baldy Bane van. You had me up to high dough.
My nephew was on the last train back from Edinburgh one time and he heard a guy phoning a taxi on account and he got the numbers and he wrote them all down and he used it for about 2 months and he was going he was going from Hamilton into Glasgow back and forth on this account and eventually he got rumbled and his pal who was also using it, I phoned him up. I said it was from the Sirius train unit and and I said I was investigating a fraud and the boy absolutely shat himself. I just said, look, it's me. And he went, oh my God, thank the Lord for that. And then they never ever used it again.
It must be a hard thing. Well, in general, for salespeople, obviously, it's very hard. It's I was reminded of Glengarry Glen Ross,
yes,
or the guy in The Simpsons. If you buy a car and there's a salesperson there, if you go back to the same garage 2 or 3 years later, you're not going to see the same salespeople there. They've been sacked for their fingers no being. It's brutal.
First prize, a Cadillac. Second prize, set of steak knives. Third prize, you're fired.
At the same time, I think they don't help themselves sometimes because it's always first. Aye, aye, Dave, how's it going? How's it going? I'm going to email you in a couple of days, see how the car's going, blah, blah, blah. Never hear from them. You call back about 5 days later saying, there's a wee funny noise coming from the... if you call service and phone down.
That's right.
We've got your money now. Piss off.
Oh, no.
But you go to places and it's young guys, and it's happened twice. I'm not just saying this, but I was desperately hoping the second time. I said, what about that car there? And I come in and sit down and he talks about it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm willing him not to say it. And there he says, my mum's actually got this motor.
Oh dear.
That. And my heart sank. No, she hasn't. But she hasn't. She has not. You're lying and you're filling this up. I said inside my mind. And I should have said it out loud.
Yeah.
But there's some wonderful car companies like Arnold Clarke. Yes. Arnold Clarke. They're wonderful.
You'll be hard pressed to find better.
That's true. And it's awful good that they're back in our still gone tour and they have actually been tremendous.
What's this?
Oh, it's
we don't let you talk about it.
We don't talk about it.
Tell me later. I tell you, I got a kitchen a few years ago. I'm particular about my kitchen. You might know there's a website called foodopolis.org.
You don't like to talk about that either,
I don't
David.
Talk about it very much. Having said that, I make no revenue from that. I simply feed the world, like Michael Jackson, but not in such an odd way. So I went to various places, no names, no pack drill. Wren. I'd taken photographs of the current kitchen I had because it was basically what I liked and how I liked to cook. I said, I've got photographs. All right, very good. I see you've got no wall cabinets. That's right. Oh, well, we'll change that. And he starts putting wall cabinets onto his little design. I went, but I don't use wall cabinets. No, you'll want wall cabinets. What, a dishwasher? I said, yeah, what did we plan? I said, like a small dishwasher because I live alone. Aye, but just now we've got a full-size one going for half price. Yeah, nevertheless, I'd like a small one to fit in there. No, I'll put the full-size one in. And Lynn was with me, and she walks away because she's about to stab somebody. And then it starts taking a very strange turn. He said, so we can get all that done for about whatever it was. He said, £15,000. Well, I'm going to see various other places. Wait a minute, I'm going to talk to my manager.
Oh, God.
Oh, it was the manager.
So he comes back and he says, right, so we can actually do it for £13,500. I said, well, that's fantastic. That's brilliant. So you go for that. I said, no, I'm going to see other places, but... if they're not good, I'll come back to you and we'll do the 13,500. What? When I come back, we can do that. No, but that That's just for today.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
What'll change between now and 2 weeks' time? What do you mean? Well, you've got your discount. Your manager's kindly put his in. Set that aside. If I come back, it's sitting there. What'll have changed? Look, come here. It takes me around the back, and they've got three wall cupboards, which I already said I didn't bloody well want anyway. Three wall cupboards, and they've got signs. I'm not kidding. They've got signs stuck to them. B&Q, Home Base, I think it was, Wren. And then he gets a plate and starts to sort of jam it into the B&Q ones and the other one. Saying, look at that. It won't fit. I said, but the Wren one is just a deeper wall cabinet. Exactly. Buy a deeper wall cabinet from B&Q. No, you can't. They won't let you. So, right, I said, look, I'm going to go now. It turned very strange. He went, actually, could you just say you're taking it? I went, sorry, what? He went, we've not had many sales recently, and it would really help. Oh, my God. It's like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I know. Well, I think the other end of that particular spectrum would be, in my experience, the Barras. For people of planet Earth, the Barras is a very famous flea market in Glasgow. Everything's dodgy, right? Everything. They sell dodgy Viagra and dodgy tobacco and all this.
It worked fine for me.
I saw this DVD of Still Game, and I said to the guy, how much is that DVD? And he never looked up. He just went, it's a fiver. And then he looked up and he saw me and he went, but it's a ten. He said, it's a tenner if you sign it. And I went, oh. I went, give me the pen, and I just signed it for him, and so he doubled his money. I always remember back in the day in the Barras, remember the butchers?
Yes.
He had a very kind of early days microphone. Yeah. He would be selling butcher meat right next to the guy who was selling net curtains. The net curtains, if you put a flame near them, you'd go up, your whole house would be gone, right? And I always remember that. I'm not wanting a fiver. I'm not wanting 4 quid. I don't want 3 quid. I'm not interested. I want £2 for this. And I have pure frenzy like a flock of pigeons. I need that butcher meat. Mental.
I was also very disturbed by the expression butcher meat.
Yes.
What other kind of meat are they selling? Serial killer meat.
I love the drama of that. I love the excitement of that. And we used to go to the Modern Homes exhibition every single year. My dad would take me. Oh my God. It was a free samples. My dad would always buy a gadget. And still now, all my life, I'm sucked into a gadget. I bought some copper pan last year. Rotten. Everything sticks to it. Red rotten. But I could not leave without buying something.
I went to a nice butcher's in Newcastle. Beautiful spread out, lovely, gorgeous, clean spick and span. And I went up to buy out the hot section, fancy type sausage rolls, all homemade. And down to the left-hand side, they had a compartment with fresh cream cakes, eclairs and things like that. And it was in its own separate bit. Uh-huh. But there's a tub of stuff sitting, and I thought, is that what I think it is, right next to the eclairs and stuff? And it could only be that. I said, is that tripe? It's a big tub of tripe right next to the...
I suspect that's unsanitary and maybe not allowed.
It's awful, isn't it? I mean,
it's terrible.
Oh, very good, Mark. Do you know what happened to me yesterday? Oh, so I didn't have the car, right? The car wasn't getting fixed. I was going to get a taxi up the road, but I thought, I'll nip into the Lidl because my mum needed messages. We needed messages. And then, of course, I did my dinger, as we all do in Lidl. Then there was one guy at till, and I realised that pepper sauce had burst. It burst over everything. And it was all down my white shirt, I'd like to say, as well, which was the terrible colour to wear a white shirt. All over everything. A queue right up the aisle. And then, of course, in Lidl, you've got to put every single thing back in your basket. Then go and put it from your trolley into your bag. So I had all that to do for my own stuff, for mum's stuff. The guy gave me blue roll. I had to go and buy wet wipes, try and clean every single thing, and then get everything in bags into a taxi. I cannot tell you the stress of that yesterday.
All the time stinking of pepper sauce.
Stinking of pepper sauce and looking like it was diarrhoea.
Not like awful.
No, it's not as bad as tripe and cream cakes.
I do love awful. I'm not keen on tripe.
There's only one person I know that loves tripe, and it's the Cran Hill boy, Billy Boyd, the actor. Billy Boyd.
He loves his tripe.
Granny used to, he loves tripe. He loves, I bet he's the only person in Los Angeles that likes tripe.
You'll never get it in Los Angeles.
Tripe? What?
Oh, of course you'll get it. It'll be some butcher that'll charge the earth for it.
Is tripe the same thing? Is tripe the same thing as skirt?
No, they're both in the same area. Tripe is stomach lining and skirt is actually abdominal muscles from the diaphragm.
Oh, that's horrific.
Oh. Free sick bag with this show, everybody.
I did see a fantastic sign at the Barra's many, many years ago. There was a whole thing done on pirate DVDs. And this guy was selling those DVDs and had a sign that said, as seen on BBC's Crime Watch.
Yes.
It is, the truth of it is, though, and I'll take us to a serious place now.
She said, with a yellow towel on her head lying
in
her bed.
A yellow towel on her head. Oh, no.
And a bowl of tripe.
Carlos Miranda.
Nice. Aye, so guys come round to my mum. Oh, I see your roof's needing fixed, and, you know, did the usual story. And then, you know, she says, oh, I have no money. We'll take you down to the shops and all, you know, all that, anything. So I think she had 60 quid in the house. That was all she had. And they were saying it was 200 quid to fix it. She gave them the 60 quid. And then some guy just sat on a roof on his mobile phone, and a neighbour across the road came over and chased them. But the same guys went round to my pal Linda's dad, who lives around the corner. And while they were fixing the roof, somebody came in to talk to old Ronnie, and they went into his bedroom and robbed him, took everything out of his drawers, took the lot.
That's shocking.
Can I say that Ronnie was the man who was so careful usually with his money, he would dry his incontinence pads on his radiator, right?
Oh.
Terrible. Not getting your back the smell in that house.
Well, obviously not use his name in this story.
Ronnie's dead now.
Oh, that's fine then.
Yeah, he's dead now.
But the smell lingers.
Much though it's fine, I enjoy ripping the mickey out of these callers. But in general, if someone phones you saying they're from BT and you have a fault, or they're from the bank, it's like, hang up. Don't engage them, hang up. If you're concerned about it, if you are with BT, then get the number for BT from a bill or from the BT website. Do not engage with these callers, and try not to phone from the phone they've just phoned you on as well for at least 5 minutes, because they can hang on to the line.
I used to live with a family of pensioners, as you know, and I would regularly just go and press the button and hang up for them and say, right, that's enough, don't ever answer it again.
They were talking to their son, but that was neither here nor there.
They were so polite about it. They were, you know, they would, no thank you, not at the moment, and just hang up, that's it, that's the end of it. Do you remember, I watched a documentary about this fella who wrote himself a cheque for £1 million and then claimed he'd won the lottery. He just used the receipt to go into like the Daimler place, and they gave him a car, and he bought a house, and but then he was in too deep, so he just kept going, right? And all with a dodgy cheque. And eventually, of course, he went to the jail, and his nickname in the jail was Bonus Ball.
Hey!
In that documentary, I always remember this bit, they interviewed the estate agent. So he says, you know, I take him to the house, and for weeks and weeks and weeks, and he wanted this done and that done and this done. So on Monday morning, my secretary came in and she said, do you remember Mr. Walker, the lottery winner? I said, yes. I had him out. Well, she said, turns out he's not a lottery winner. He's a wanker.
As I've mentioned before, my mum lived in Italy. She had a house built, and after she died, I had to deal with her estate, try to sell the house, and lo and behold, apart from the fact, this guy charged her €6,500 for the completion certificates for the house. No certificates existed. When I went further and checked the main province in Frosinone, the house didn't exist. Now, not only did the house not exist, but that whole area was marked as a red zone. Now, I'm no architecture expert, but I think we can all guess that red zone is not a good thing.
No.
It's a massive earthquake zone, and you're not allowed to build on it.
Oh, my God.
And this guy just took complete advantage.
That's another story of your stories of Italy, of a corruption.
It's great for a holiday, folks.
My mother hated nuns, right? All days, she hated... She hated nuns, right? And then one day I said to her, what is it with the hatred of nuns? Why do you hate them? And she said, well, what happened was, she said, I worked in a fruit and veg shop. And two nuns come in. Uh-huh. And they got their goods, and they went up to the thing, and my mother weighed them and then charged them. And then she went, don't tell anybody. And she went and she got more of the fruit and veg, and she put them in the bag for the nuns. the nuns went and grassed her up to the manager.
Oh,
that's terrible.
She got the bullet, aye. That's why she hated nuns. It's a form of sale.
I'm going to drag a wee blast from the past back.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Riley, you'll be happy with this. I'm going to switch off my camera.
Oh.
And make some noise.
Excellent.
Ooh. Then that noise. Who could it be? What could it be? Then that noise. Sagging silver spines on a horse on skis. Then that noise. Will the three work that's running up the mast? Then that noise. And see how long this game will last. Ooh. He's off. Camera's off. That's a fact.
He's merely a name.
Chugging.
Starting a fire.
Then that noise. Last.
Mm.
So we've got the clinkety cup thing, the clinkety first, clinkety scrape.
There was a lid thing going on.
Now, I was not masturbating with an old baked bean tin.
No.
Rule that out.
Were you starting a fire like at the Cubs?
Can you see a fire like at the Cubs?
Not yet, but they take ages.
So folk can guess that on Twitter. If it works out as well as the last episode, we'll already have recorded episode 16 by the time folks tweet their answers. A holiday to Lagos or Argos is on the table.
The last episode of season one. Can we talk about this, Mark?
Yeah. What are we talking about?
No, yeah.
Episode 13.
Something awful exciting is going to happen
episode
next week.
Episode 16.
We're actually getting together. Is that what we're talking about?
Well, yeah, we're getting together with a gentleman caller.
With a celebrity friend.
Yes.
We're going to get together with a very celebrity friend of ours.
Mark, have you had a stroke?
I feel as if I've had a stroke. I'll give his name.
Yes.
That's what I'm getting at.
Oh, you're getting at that, right? Okay.
I'll give it here. Episode 16, we have a very special guest. We'll be joined by...
We've not done an O already.
On the very last episode, next week, we'll be joined by our good friend and Still Game Cast member, Mr. Sanjeev Kaure.
Yes!
And we will be recording it live, because although we can't do households, we can meet at public places.
Yes, and next week we'll all be together for the first time in the podcast. And actually for the first time in, I don't know, how many, 5 months, something like that?
Exactly.
I don't know. So we're really excited about that. And also we'll have a wee Easter egg at the end of episode 16.
Will be a separate download.
Oh, will it? All right, okay, there you go.
Episode 16A. But we can't do that, so it'll be episode 17, but it won't really be episode 17. I'd like to find out where you're not this week.
Oh, spin it, David, spin it.
I'll spin it.
Oh.
It's Dunfermline.
Oh, lovely.
Berlin, lovely.
It's the Alhambra Theatre. When are we going there, Paul?
Jane, we will be there on the 15th of April 2021 at the Alhambra Theatre in Dunfermline. A beautiful theatre, by the way.
It was built as a cinema in 1922 and a theatre. Then in the 60s, it became a bingo hall and then lay empty for about a year, 2006, 2007, and then it was taken over by Bill Fletcher and made back into a theatre again.
How lovely. And what a fantastic entrepreneur to have taken over that theatre and to have put so much love and so much interest in the arts back into it.
Absolutely.
But I'll tell you that it's a B-listed building. It's Egyptian, classical and art deco.
Hold on. It's Egyptian... It's classical and it's art deco.
David, have you ever listened to the bricks? The history is there. It seeps out of the building.
So it's a bit of a mishmash. Fact check. While the interior of the Alhambra is decorated with art deco and Egyptian motifs, The architecture itself is classical with a Romanesque side elevation. It was opened in August 1922 and was designed by Scots-born American architect John Fraser.
I've played this theatre many times. I've done panto there quite a few times, but I do remember the Proclaimers were coming in, so we had to move all the panto stuff out just before New Year. And, well, I used to eat Mac there all the time, my Jack Russell, and I'd left Smart Price out of date chicken in my fridge in the dressing room. And then I was so embarrassed because I thought the Proclaimers will think that's what I eat. That's what I would have for myself. So I had to get a message on Twitter. It was very, very bizarre to tell them it wasn't my chicken. I mean, why would they even care? Why would they even feel they need?
They're notorious fridge raiders, the Proclaimers.
I think that Charlie Reid actually had a very bad intestinal problem just after they played the Alhambra.
That's right.
James McKenzie, who was in Raven, he had a wee dog as well, and we used to both take our dogs and we would walk them down the main street. You'd go into the local butchers, you would get a free bone for the dog. Everybody spoke to you right down that street, and there's a gorgeous park at the bottom. We would walk the dogs. It really, I absolutely loved working there. James's dog was called Rita. Mac never bothered with the ladies. He was awful, awful good. And Rita was young. I said, James, we can leave them in the same room together. Nothing will happen. So anyway, we came back. two dancers watched, didn't intervene, watched Mac pump Rita, eat her dinner, and fall asleep in her bed. I was awful proud of my wee dog.
He should be, because he's just behaving like a standard actor.
I know. It was because we didn't know this Rita was about to go on heat, so then I had to stop taking Mac for a wee while Rita was there. And I had to go to Primark on my break and buy Rita pants and sanitary towels. And cut a hole for her tail.
It didn't.
So Rita, because, you know, cleanliness. We need to keep Rita in pants.
She was on heat.
So we had to... story in this world.
Riley.
Okay, the population of Dunfermline is 54050.
Mark, you lived there.
I lived up the Toon Hill Road, just after Toon Hill Road in Rose Crescent. And I used to look, I could see the Alhambra Theatre if there wasn't a shopping centre in front of me, Debenhams.
Right.
I would be able to see it. But I lived and I loved it. Do you know Dunfermline's one of the most atmospheric places I've ever been in? There you go. Down there at the Abbey, Robert the Bruce, he's buried there. His bones are there, you see. You can walk on them. There is, in the gardens of the Abbey, if you go there, peacocks.
Yes, that's right.
Fantastic.
So old. It was 1329, Robert the Bruce was buried there.
You can see 1:30. That's very precise.
Yeah.
No, but it is really, I mean, it goes way, way, way back to the Bronze Age. And
Edward I, he stayed at Dunfermline Abbey with his court, and when he left, not being able to leave a poor TripAdvisor review, he just set fire to it.
Local residents, of course, of Dunfermline, him that wrote Rebus, was his name?
Ian Rankin.
But it's also got quite a rock background, did you know?
Yes.
So you've got Ian Anderson, Jethro Tull, and Peter Agnew of Nazareth, and famous heavy rock singer Barbara Dixon.
When I was doing the panto at the Alhambra, I was asked to do a photo shoot up in the main street. So I was fairy godmother, so I had my low dress on, and it was absolutely pouring with rain. And I'd asked if we could get a car that would go up, take me up to the main street because of the rain. He went, "A car to walk up there? Who do you think you are? Barbara Dixon." I told Barbara Dixon that story and it went down like a cup of cold soup. And I thought she would really laugh. And Gavin Mitchell was with me and we were at this kind of exhibition. And I said, "Oh, here, wait till I tell you." Nothing. Gavin was doubled over laughing at how badly the story had gone down.
For Dunfermline, I had written down jetpacks and peacocks and Coxie's humped both of those. So there is, of course, Jim Leishman, the mustachioed Dunfermline manager, who famously said, "There's very few people who go the extra mile, so go the extra mile and give it all you've got."
Okay, Andrew Carnegie, of course.
Oh, yes.
Of course, yes.
Millionaire and philanthropist. And Carnegie Hall is not only in New York, it also is in Dunfermline.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
The difference being, in New York, of course, you say, how'd you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice.
Practice.
And Dunfermline, it's 371A, 15 minutes past the hour, Sunday's accepted.
I want to share one other story with you guys on the subject of sales. When I was young and living in Milton, it was the summer holidays, and Gary McGonigal, he's sadly no longer with us, he showed up at my front door with a pair of skis during the summer holidays, and he'd broken into the school and he'd stolen skis and various other sports equipment. And it turned out that the skis that he'd stolen were mine. And he was, he was trying to sell me the skis, and I was like, well, no, I can get them for nothing because I go to the school and the school provide, and then they take. And I says, and aside from anything else, Cathay Street, where I lived at the time, is as flat as a witch's tit. Now, what am I meant to do with stolen skis on a flat road in the middle of summer? It never made any sense to me. So that was the story of Boo Boo and the stolen skis.
Lovely. Questions. Oh my lord, we've got a couple of questions that talk about the four of you, so that's quite exciting.
Nice.
But we'll go for a couple of still games first.
Mm-hmm.
Some very succinct questions. One, where's Tam's baby thanking you, says Reg Moore.
I love this question because it always comes up and it always puts Coxie under pressure. Carry on, Mark.
He's apparently he's alive and well.
Was it no a she?
No, it was a he. he's alive and well, and he's 19 now, and he's studying biomechanics, apparently.
Wow.
The Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
Oh, MIT, that's fantastic.
Well, it's all good.
Reg, we hope that answers your question. John in Montreal.
G'day, Montreal.
Ah, there we are. John in Montreal says, as actors, what do you enjoy doing more? The Still Game live shows, at the Hydro or the television series? Now, I think you answered this in a previous podcast.
No guarantee they will give the same answer, though, David, to be fair.
Unless you want to add something to it.
Well, they will be outed as liars.
Exactly.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's
so, John, if you can go through the 16 episodes, 30 minutes each, if you can go through the 8 hours of podcasts, you'll find the answer in there somewhere. Chemist Craig, pronounced Criage, says, so, I'm feeding my cat, and I'm remembering the episode of Still Game where Winston is so skint he resorts to almost eating pet food. What is the worst thing you four have ever eaten? I hope it's not pet food.
If you could see the screen, I was actually...
I think it's Criage.
Criage, sorry. I was recoiling the sense memory of that scene where I had the cat food because the smell was so vile. And I had it like this close to my mouth.
For radio folks, he had his hand very close to his mouth.
It was just vile. You know, I'm a professional and I saw it through.
Okay, Paul Riley, but what's the worst thing you've ever really eaten?
Scorpion in Thailand.
Tell.
Yeah.
You can't leave out of that. G'day, Thailand.
It was late at night and it was dark and I was offered this street food and I was just eating it. It was all crunchy and whatnot. What's this? You're eating scorpion. Oh, thanks very much.
But did it taste bad?
Well, that's the thing, Dave, because at the point you're eating it, you don't realise, it's just crunchy. And then when somebody tells you it's scorpion, you go, that shouldn't be in my mouth.
We've all heard that phrase before. Jean McCarry, the worst thing you've ever eaten, keep it clean.
I love my grub, and I get 10 out of 10 regardless, really. How many times do I ever even leave one grain of rice on a plate? It's unheard of. So probably the thing that I hate the most, and I'm so polite that people give me, I eat it, is hot tuna. I can't stand the smell, I can't stand the texture, I can't stand hot tuna.
When you say hot tuna, are you meaning hot tinned tuna or actual tuna steak?
Both. And I think it's because of the association in my head with a tuna steak, with a tin of hot tuna. People give you it through cheese or pat and it's hot, and I always eat it. And I cannot stand it.
People give it to you through cheese.
We put cheese and pasta and hot tuna in a bake.
Well, people need taken out and had a word with. You don't put cheese with fish. It's unnatural. Mark, the worst thing you've ever had.
I don't like hot tuna, but what I've always struggled with, and I remember being offered it, corned beef with all the stuff running about it, or the jelly running about like a big ye olde oak ham.
Ah,
yeah, that's weird.
I struggle with. But that kind of jelly in a big... Oh, no. Kidney? Nah. No, thanks.
I had tripe in Los Angeles one time. It was lovely.
Delicious.
Was it easy to get?
Slice of skirt?
David?
It's funny what you say about the scorpion. I mean, I love snails. And when my dad first met my grandparents, my gran decided that she would make him snails as a treat. And he loved them. He was wolfing them down. And then came the fateful phrase, "These mushrooms are amazing."
Oof.
And as soon as he found out they were snails, he turned a whiter shade of pale.
Yeah.
I eat almost anything, although as Jim McCarrie knows, not porridge and not chewing gum. But I used to, for a bet, eat raw eggs whole with the shell. And it was a horrific experience, but it was a good moneymaker at parties because no one believed you would do it. That's horrendous. It was disgusting.
This is an episode, by the way.
You know, they started doing cat food in wee tubs of Sheba. An aunt and uncle of mine, they had a wee cat, and he'd had a good bucket, and he came in one night and put the Sheba on toast because he thought it was patty, and then said to my aunt in the morning, "Don't get that patty again, it was rotten."
Me and Shan Can did that when we were drama students at a party. We took the cat food and we put it out as patty. And because everybody's trying to outdo each other and being posh and all that, "Oh, lovely, the patty." And we just stood back and laughed at them. Oh, no, terrible bad behaviour, but there it is.
You've done a lot of bad things, Paul Riley.
Bad things.
You go to the bunny fire.
Just humorous things.
Humorous things. Just framed fannies and to whom it may concern.
That's exactly. 30 degree buns and poor Martin's heat.
Thank you, Criage. That was a very interesting question.
Okay, folks, well, that's your lot for this week, episode 15. Please do join us next week for the last episode of season one of Three Down, One Across, where we will have the amazing Sanjeev Kohli, everybody.
Yay!
Yay!
From me, it's a goodbye from Paul Riley.
It's a goodbye from Jane McCarrie.
Mark Cox, goodbye.
David Goodall, a fond farewell.
Bye, happy days.
Three Down, One Across is an Osprey production. The penultimate episode was recorded remotely. Get it now on our super summer sale while stocks last. Produced at Southmouth Facilities. Terms and conditions apply. Your home may be at risk if you make statements you later rely on in court.